One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, is Dave Callens.
Hey, what's up?
And Robert Timothy.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Had a good show this week. I did Reds in PB, which, as we all know, is probably the best bar show, not only in San Diego, but just anywhere. Anywhere.
Wow. Big praise.
I've never seen a bar. They've actually moved it from that small room up to the top because it was just expanding so much.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's huge up there. So anyway, me and all the other comics had great sets. I mean, and it's very strange because it's good-looking young people in there.
Yeah.
And usually
not
the type that pays attention or shows any degree of respect.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, they all come to see comedy. It was great.
It's like you had a crowd of, like, bachelorette parties.
Yeah, right. So, anyways, after my set, I'm just kind of waiting around to get paid. And this girl walks up to me, and, at first I was like, I'm sorry, am I in your way?
Yeah.
She's like, no, you were great, blah, 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 where are you from? Just standard fair talking.
Right.
And I'm just not at all into the conversation. I'm like, I don't want to answer any questions about myself. It's a Wednesday night. I want to get paid and go home. But, you know, I'm being polite. I'm like, yeah, I'm from Orange County, and I've been doing it 8 years. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, her boyfriend comes out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
And looking with the what's going on here look all over his face.
Now, was the boyfriend in the audience as well?
Yes.
Because to me, you automatically, if you just come out and you're a super jealous guy and you see your girlfriend talking to a dude, I mean, to me, people talk to people. That's kind of a weird thing to be jealous about. But fine, whatever. You get jealous. If you see her talking to the person who's performing, don't you automatically just kind of give it a pass in the same way, like, she's talking to the waiter. It's probably about the bill.
Well,
or if you're in PB and you're that kind of person, like, oh, she's talking to the guy that she was laughing at.
Right. That's where it's at. Now, I've noticed, not just in PB, but a lot of places. I'm surprised you haven't seen this more, which is some guys...
Probably doesn't get a lot of compliments.
That's right. Yeah. Now, usually it's somebody coming up going, what the fuck was that?
This involves getting laughs on stage, so I understand.
Just people disputing the facts of his jokes.
But I, like my whole career, I've noticed that some men get very, very like jealous when their woman is laughing at another man, even if it's a comedian that they came to see.
Yeah, #not all men.
That's so weird because you went there for that purpose. Like, that would be like if a plumber came and fixed the pipes in your house that you called him to fix.
You think I couldn't do that? You motherfucker! What are you trying to bang my wife? You think you're better than me? My only retort to that is, insecure people don't usually think things through all the way.
Plus, I mean, from that perspective, there's a difference between, hey, that was a fun show, and, hey, that one guy was really good.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
So, anyways, you know, he comes up to me, and he, like, you know, he's already got the wide eyes and the, like, what's going on here face. And so now he starts, quote, unquote, play punching me in the chest. He's like, good show, buddy. Good show. Like, that kind of like...
That is a weird boundary to cross with someone you don't know.
Trying to, you know, it was on the surface supposed to be a congratulatory little punch to the chest, but I know what's going on.
Yeah,
he's trying to alpha male me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, he's just trying to, like, emasculate or, you know...
Can I just say what you should have done before I...
Punched him back?
No. What you should have done is then flat-palmed and just do the exact same thing he's doing to you, but to his girlfriend's boobs. Like, hey, thanks for liking it. Thank you very much. Nothing to be jealous about here.
So anyway, you know, he's doing this, and I'm in no mood to get into a fight with a 21-year-old idiot over a girl I didn't want to talk to in the first place on a Wednesday night when I just want to go home. So
you should have gone way of the gun and punched the girl.
If you were a woman, I'd slug you, sir. So, yeah, so, like, I'm just... kind of like, whatever. Yeah, you're a big, strong man. I'm very scared. Yeah. But I'm just like, thanks a lot, man. So anyways, he says something just totally uncomfortable. He just goes, yeah, so I'm thinking of going home and fucking this girl tonight. What do you think about that? I'm like,
wow.
I just stared back at him, and she's like, Robert, stop. And I'm like, Robert, please stop. I'm like, there was two things I really wanted to say. First of all, it was like, dude, she came up to me. Will you stop this? And secondly, to turn to the woman and be like, did you do this on purpose? Did you fucking, is this?
Oh, I see. She's playing three-dimensional chess.
Yeah.
She's like, You know who he can't flip out on like he normally does? A performer, because somebody at the venue will stop them. She's naive. She doesn't realize the way things work. But yeah. She's like, he's essentially a superstar. He's immune to it. I can really rile up my boyfriend by hitting on this guy.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, maybe that, if that's her mentality, that definitely comes into play. Like, it's like, I'm sure that if this is their relationship, which I'm sure it is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure every time, like, she says, oh, that guy can. That guy was really good at guitar. I bet the next time she comes home, he's bought himself one. He's trying to learn how to play. I can fucking do that better than that guy.
Be even better if it was Guitar Hero.
Oh, 5 stars, bitch. But maybe that's part of it. Like, it's not like he can just jump on stage and start telling jokes right now. Aha! Maybe that's part of like her emasculating of him.
I don't know. I think it's more like they have a lot of angry sex, and so she's looking for more ways to like.
Oh,
all
right. She's spicing it up.
Yeah.
And also, all this is going on. I consider myself somewhat of a big guy. The bouncer at this fucking place, easily 3 times my size, all muscle. There's like a Gold's Gym right next door, and it looks like he lives there. Like, I'm not easily intimidated, but I saw this guy, I'm like, holy shit, do you exist? So this is all happening in front of him. So the guy can't do anything. Even the most idiotic 21-year-old won't start shit in front of this bouncer. Right. So maybe that was part of it too. Anyways, so I'm like, yeah, she's like, whoa, really funny, man, really funny. You're a funny guy. All right, we're getting out of here. And they leave. I'm like, oh, thank God. And so, and then also,
wouldn't it be great if on their way out, you just yelled, thanks for the BJ while he was in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that's the moral of the story. I was trying to exasperate this as much as possible.
No, I was hoping that like they leave and then they start like live tweeting Two Shores, like their sex. Like, hey, I'm taking her pants off now.
Yeah, in retrospect, I shouldn't have given him my business card. But anyways, so I'm still waiting around. They've left. I sigh some relief. But I'm still waiting to get paid. So I take out a cigarette. I walk out the door and just, ooh, a stone's throw from the entrance to this place. He is out there shouting in her face.
Of course.
I mean, and I'm like, all right, I don't want this to get violent on my watch. You know, there's that.
But you also have to think about something. And this is something that I've thought about a lot since this happened.
She's asking for it.
No, but like this happened in the San Diego comedy community about a year ago. There was a situation at Dave's place of work, Madhouse, where there was an incident where a guy was getting violent with his girlfriend and shouting a lot that carried on outside. And when two Good Samaritans went to try and intervene, that guy murdered them.
Yeah, he produced a fucking pistol out of nowhere and shot both of them.
Yeah, and one of them
died, one didn't.
Right, and I think about that now so much more often because I used to be the person who would see that and kind of walk up and try and defuse it and just be like, hey, remember me? I was the guy on stage. How you doing?
The best compliment I ever got about my acting abilities was in high school. I was rehearsed. I was the lead in the play, Agatha Christie's Mousetrap, where I played a killer. And me
I was
and the
play the mouse.
me and the female lead on our lunch break were in the theater rehearsing like the kill scene where I was like about to strangle her to death. And whilst doing this, the janitor tackled me. He's like, get off her! I'm like, thank you, sir. I twirled my hand and did a little bow after I got up and wiped the blood off me. But anyways,
better than the Jenner being like, yeah, yeah, she's kind of uppity. Yeah,
want to go back to my house and drink?
So what did you do? How did you?
So I was juggling in my head, like, all right. Super don't want to get involved.
Right.
I've already know too much about this relationship as it is. I don't want to fucking, you know, white knight this scenario and then again end up in a fist fight outside a place I just performed at on a fucking Wednesday.
Especially PB, where you are guaranteed to see a cop every 10 and a half seconds.
And are very enthusiastic about hiding your ass in a county cell.
Yes.
So, anyways, I'm out there and as he's shouting at her, I hear, hey, Ryan, I got your money. I'm like, oh. And so I went back in. And by the time I exited, they had departed. And so I got off that one scot-free.
Oh, fantastic.
So good. He's going to beat her at home where I don't have to have any conscience
like
about it.
Like a civilized person.
Yeah. So other thing that's been going on is, Bobby, have you ever joined any type of writer's group online, like on Facebook or something like this, you know,
no,
a private group?
I only write with Damian Mercado. That's the only person I do comedy with.
No wonder your jokes.
Poor choice.
Never mind.
Yeah.
So anyways, Dave and I were lured, I'm going to say lured, into this.
It's more of like we were dared to join this group.
Yeah, a comedian fan. First of all, before I get into this, I am a fan of writers' groups. I think they're constructive, you know.
Yeah.
as long as you trust and respect the other people's in the group's talent and opinions. Right. You know, you can't just blindly be like, hey, who's a writer? We'll join this group and we'll give each other notes. I'm like, what are your all credentials?
Well, that's one of the reasons I only write with Damien. Like, some people are like, oh, are you afraid somebody's going to steal your jokes? It's like, no, I trust a lot of people not to steal my jokes. The reason I like to write with Damien is he doesn't get hurt when I say that what he's saying isn't funny. So, like, if we're throwing out a bunch of ideas and he goes, and then the guy says, I'm the one who was beating the woman. I'll just look at him and be like, that's not funny. All right, let's keep going. And he doesn't get hurt. He has the greatest ability to just be like, all right, fine, and keep powering through.
Nice.
There's too many people you write with or I've tried to write with where I'll be like, no, I don't like that. And they'll act really hurt and they'll come back to it and they'll be like, well, what if we did that, but he was wearing a tutu? I was like, no, get over that fucking bad idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, you're right. You have to respect the person and you have to have a simpatico with them where you guys can communicate. This is good. This is not good.
It's called a brain trust for a reason. Yeah. Trust. So, anyways, we get Dave and I get hit up by one of our friends. I forget if it was Mike or Alan, but they're like, you got to see this group called Facebook Comedy Writers Group. I'm like, yeah, I think
it was Mike, and I think he had shared with us a couple of nuggets from that group, and we were just like, what the fuck?
Now, I've talked about before on this about how many, let's say, older gentlemen get into comedy late in life and are just super out of touch, where it's just like, I can't believe what you thought this was a good idea. It seems to be all this guy, only they're all also super horrible people on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Mike was like, you guys got to check this out. And I'm like, let me see what we got going. Oh, it's all slurs.
Yeah.
And it seems to be also the kind of guys who we also see often, we talked about this before, who think the reason that they're not getting laughs or people are like, that was shitty, is because everyone's too sensitive and they can't handle how real they are.
Right.
I really hate that 2015 happened when the PC got a little out of control there for a second.
Yeah.
There was a point in 2015 where I couldn't go on Facebook without seeing a girl hold up a bottle of milk in a fucking supermarket, like, racist much? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because of that, all these guys like, oh, the PC police. Right. I'm like, no, you just said the N-word and called it a day.
Yeah.
So, like, my notes for all these guys are across the board. My problem is it still wouldn't be clever or funny even if it wasn't filled with slurs.
Yeah.
But it is. So I have a few from this little comedy writers group.
Well, if it's the guy you're about to read, my other problem with his, you're going to read one, you guys will see, but his joke is like a Rube Goldberg machine of detail, but then there's no payoff at the end.
Yeah, so a lot of these guys are from England. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so I'm going to read you a few from a few different contributors to this group. Okay. And by the way, they all post this shit and then suck each other's dicks about
it. Nobody is ever like, I don't like that, or that's no good.
That's terrible.
Best joke ever.
Hilarious in this this climate.
First of all, you got to give the English people a pass. They're still working out the whole comedy thing.
No.
Yeah. You know what's funny? A man in a dress.
Yeah, like they're still working on an old motif. Yeah, give them a pass.
All right, so here's what first of all, we'll call this guy Dunmall. Dunmall says, I got excited the other day as I overheard my husband. Dunmall's a man.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's going to come into play.
It's 2017, bro.
Oh, hey, I understand that, okay. But let's keep reading.
Fair enough.
As I overheard my husband saying that he was going to get a new kitchen. Imagine my surprise when he turned up with a young Korean girl and said, sorry, honey, this is the whore that I have been seeing on the quiet for the past 17 years. She's retiring and we want to get married. Through my tears, I said, what? I thought you were getting me a new kitchen. Sheepishly, he said, no, her name is Kit Chen. Angrily, I went to slap her, but missed and she punched me in the face. Yes, that's the right response.
Based on the feedback that, because this is around the time I joined the group and I saw this, and the feedback from some question and answer with some of the other people in the group, he's telling the joke as a woman. Like, he just wrote a joke from a woman's perspective.
Because I had a bunch of questions. I'm like, so you're a gay man and your husband was pretending to be gay all these years, but he's secretly straight?
Oh, no. This is a woman.
That's a woman, though. And a young Korean whore, but you've been seeing her for 17 years. How old was she initially?
Right.
And she's retiring.
Why is she retiring? How much have you been so? I had all these questions.
And is the last part of that a joke about all Asians knowing karate? Is that the idea?
No. So many of his jokes end with some sort of weird. I tried to punch her and missed, and she hit me.
Yes. Yeah. Next one. Same guy. My wife and I walked into our local fishmongers the other day.
Fishmongers.
Parenthesis, closed on Sundays. End parenthesis. I said to the man behind the counter, Red Snapper, oh God, where's this going? He looked at me angrily and said, look, mate, I know I'm a burns victim with an admittedly short temper, but there's no need to come in here and start calling me names like that. So he went to hit me. I ducked. He missed and punched my wife in the face. Same guy.
Same guy.
Wow. He really likes women getting hit in the face.
Yes. What if, and I'm just saying this for those of you who are Degenerates fans who are listening to the episode last week, what if he got this from my story about my buddy trying to slap me, missing, and hitting that girl in the face?
No, he's so committed to this concept.
No, that's probably
also,
it.
all of his jokes are just this, like I said, this elaborate, extraneous detail based on a pun. The first one was kitchen. No, yeah. Kitchen. This one's red snapper. Oh, it's a burns victim with
short
temper.
He'll clumsily piece together a pun and then build a whole joke around it.
Here's he got a 1980s joke book out of a bargain bin and decided he's going to really tag this one.
But all the pages are stuck together, so he's just taking different pieces.
He's going to really punch this up a little. No pun intended.
Here's one, another one, same guy, obviously. I'm a proud housewife. Again, he's writing a joke for some reason.
Right.
I'm a proud housewife.
I love this.
I love keeping my home clean and pretty and always have a hot meal ready for my man when he comes home. In between chores, I enjoy a bit of sculpting and was working on a life-size effigy of my husband when I ran out of special material to complete the lower part of the face. I texted him to ask if he could pick some up on the way home, to which he agreed. Imagine my surprise when he walked in with a Korean whore. Frustrated, I said, no, darling, I asked for a chin kit, not a kit chin.
So there's a follow-up.
Wow. He loves that pun so much.
He wrote a whole nother bit about it. And
Ryan's comment was the best. Ryan, I think he just said this to us privately. He's like, I love this joke so much, I made up a chin kit so that the joke works, and it still doesn't.
I invented a thing for this joke to work. I invented a chin kit, which I go into any Michael's or Joanne's and ask for one. Yeah. It will not exist.
Yeah, because you know sculpting, there's a shoulder kit, there's a chin kit, there's an elbow kit. Bobby, isn't effigy, doesn't that just have a negative connotation?
Yeah, don't you burn those?
Yeah, you can. It doesn't have to be negative connotation.
You can burn your effigy. Yeah, it's there.
Sometimes you burn an effigy. Sometimes you make a kinchit. Or a chinkit.
Yeah, sure. Same guy. We'll get to other people. Don't worry. This is just
But this one's so much more.
This guy's my favorite offender. Two girls break down on the motorway. One gets out, looks at the engine, and says, oh, don't know what to do and don't want to break a nail. Love that stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
So one shows a bit of leg and a driver stops. A man steps out and said, do you need a hand? And the girls giggle until one says, ooh, yes, the car can wait. So he fixes the car and the girls drive off in their global thermonuclear engineering theory practical at Cambridge University. What?
My biggest problem with this joke, of all the problems, is like, wait, there's sexual innuendo, but then he fixes the car?
Right.
Like, what
And
happened?
Apparently, he turned... So I guess the joke is supposed to be that
the girls are geniuses.
The
girls are the, like, thermonuclear whatever. They're geniuses on the way to a conference.
I think we should get into an argument about what this joke actually means.
Here's... I gotta read this one. Just he has so many good ones. I'm sorry we keep harping on this guy, but this one's so good. I love this one. So I was in McDonald's with the Pope the other day. He'd finished, so I offered him some fries, to which he said, fuck me, Dave. No, I'm absolutely stuffed, mate. Completed, blown out. I feel like such a greedy cunt. I said, okay, no worries. Are you ready to go? And he said, no, me old China plate. I'm having something delivered. Confused, I said, why here? And he said, well, they were passing, and he was interrupted by this family who came through the doors. A mother, father, and two children in their late teens. Suddenly, they started taking their clothes off and were kissing each other, rubbing baby oil in, and giving each other a right good seeing to.
Sure.
Suddenly, the Pope stands up and says, no, 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 I ordered incense.
Man, he went into
Why is this at McDonald's? Why is it the Pope? Why was it delivered?
Where's a delivery incense company? Where are you?
At McDonald's, obviously.
He invented them, much like his chin kit. That's a tongue twister.
But they're all just bad puns that he constructs these elaborate. He like Tarantino's a world around this stupid fucking pun.
All right, finally, we got. Oh, and by the way, people are so lazy in this group. They literally just post, like, I want to write a joke about a plumber. Ideas?
Yeah.
That's what you think writing is? Like, I'd like a joke to be about a plumber. Go.
Yeah. No, that happens all the time. Right. And also, by the way, these jokes we're reading you, there are so many comments like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Mate. Or there's suggestions that make it equally as bad. Like, you should change it from the Pope to a bishop. It's funnier. Yeah. I'm like, no. So anyway, this is a different guy finally here, Trent. So this speaks to the laziness that I spoke about earlier. For the stage, I want to lose weight for the show.
Oh, yeah, this guy always starts his post with for the stage, as if he's writing for all these different mediums, and we have to try to keep track of which one.
Oh, so this
is
not for the magazine you're contracted with. All right, for the stage, I wanted to lose weight for this show, and I did. I went from a GameStop employee all the way down to dad bod. And then he says, ideas? Different types of fat people?
I mean, at least then he has a joke, a premise, and a punchline. Like, that is the best of what you've read.
Yeah.
Okay, this one is from an equally bad offender, Kieran. I feel like I need to read this in a Cockney accent or it doesn't fucking make sense.
It won't make sense anyway.
You get all the birds chatting you up when you're a club doorman. Been doing the job a while now. One woman told me she hadn't had a cock in months. She gave me a lift to her place and parked the car. That's when I clocked that she's a tranny.
You get it, because she parked the car really well, so he figured, she can't be a woman, she's got to be.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Couple things. I did not get that right away. It took me about four laps, so and it was like down the comments, like, because she parked the car, and I'm like, all right, I get where you're using the women can't drive thing.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully you sandwich that between, like, gay people are weird and blowing into your palm to make the fart noise, but equally funny. But, like, he took some flack for saying tranny, and that's when the, like oh, everyone's just too PC and can't handle my shit kind of thing came out.
Dude, there was one, we could do a whole episode on this guy, the guy who read all the first four jokes from, but I'm just going off memory on this one. But Bobby, he had one where he's like, there's this mechanics shop and all the mechanics, he like named all of them and said the hours of the business and whatever. And he's like, oh, some mechanic walked in and fixed an engine right away. And everyone's like, yeah, great job, Brian. And the mechanic's like, I'm not Brian. And took off his disguise and it was a woman. And it was like, what? this is the joke, like for real. And then the next part of the joke is like, so then some women opened up a women's mechanic shop down the road and ran these guys out of business.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a joke. That's just like a story.
Exactly.
That's not
to him. That's a joke. I actually had to quit the group. I just couldn't deal with his bullshit.
It is funny though when people do the cliche, hey, everybody just too PC for me, the whole nine yards. There's a lot of like that just trite cliche shit that gets trouted out as if it's original thought. And one of my favorite ones, I was sitting around watching TV. They have a new reality show where they essentially take adults who are like 25 years old. I don't know if they're in law enforcement or whatever, and they put them undercover into a high school.
So it's 21 Jump Street.
It's basically 21 Jump Street. I think they might not be cops. They might just be actors or something. But the idea is we want to know what's going on in today's high schools. And the tagline was like,
they're fucking and doing drugs.
Yeah, right now, exactly. The tagline was like,
I know that.
Was like, we have no idea what's going on in today's high schools until now. And it's like, No. We know exactly what's going on in today's high schools.
Also, we know from the generation that we went... We all went through high school.
Not only did we all go through high school, we know about the sex, drugs, and rock and roll type stuff. But on top of that, this... Today, right now, parents know more about what's going on in their kids' school than in the history of the universe.
Yeah, this show's premise is like, social media doesn't tell us anything.
Yeah.
We're going to send some parents in.
I'm like, let me guess, they're eating Tide Pods?
Yeah.
I didn't even need to go.
Not only can parents look at their kids' Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat, they can go to the school's website. Fuck, some of these places have like 24-hour cameras in the quad that you can sign into at work to see if your kid's fucking around.
Yeah.
There has never been a time when parents have a better idea, and by the way, also kind of cared more about what's going on in their kids' high school than right now.
And by the way, their favorite toy in the world, their fucking phone, has a GPS monitor in it. I know where they are at all times, they will not part with this phone.
I for real think reality television is a huge contributor to the downfall of our society, like just dumbing down the country.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
First of all, most of it's not reality. It's all lightly scripted or heavily scripted, but pawned off as reality.
Yeah.
And it's always presented as like, oh my God, check this out.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, like, okay, if you were to say, hey, this is going to be secret and the kids won't know about it, that's one thing. But obviously, there are cameramen in the fucking classroom giant shoulder-mounted cameras. And even if they're, like, doing the intervention thing where they lie about why they're there and they're like, oh, they're just here to document schools or whatever, they're still going to act differently when that camera is on than when it's not. So even then, you're not finding out what's going on in high school.
Also, like, there's a lot of TV where you have to admit to yourself, if you're going to watch it, that you just enjoy making fun of a demographic. So, if you like cops, you like making fun of poor people. There's no, don't even try to say you don't enjoy it.
That's
because no one's
it.
Ever fucking watched Cops and not gone, look at that guy, his fucking oversized Disneyland t-shirt from 30 years ago. with a cigarette burns in it. It's like, yeah, because he's poor. Right? So, and then a perfect example is my ex-girlfriend was a social worker, and she loved the shows Toddlers and Tiaras and Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. She would watch. She watched everyone there was to watch. And I remember watching it with her, and she's just laughing the whole time. Like, look at the fat mom making her. She's feeding her Mountain Dew with sugar in it. And like, oh my God. Like, this is child abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're a social worker.
Yeah.
Like, if you saw that one of your clients is happening to, you'd make a report. And I'm like, second of all, how much Honey Boo Boo do you have to watch before you admit that you like making fun of retarded people? Because that's what this is.
That's what I'm saying. It's the dumbing down of our country. It's so fucking
Well, let me
sad.
Ask you guys this. I want you to think about this. I'll tell my story while you do. I want you to think about what the thing is that would have shocked your parents the most if they figured out what was going on in your high school. Like, if they did have some kind of insight into what was going on and went like, holy shit, I got to pull this kid out of this school.
Right.
So mine starts, we had a few good adventures, but me and Damien, we set up something in our school called the Cannonball Run. So if you guys aren't familiar, there's an old Burt Reynolds movie called Cannonball Run. It's where groups of guys, like teams of people, are in cars, and they have to accomplish a mission around the United States.
Cross-country race.
Racing the entire way. But it's not just a race. You have to do stuff along the way, right? And so we had a similar idea. We're like, let's do a cannonball run where we have to drive around our hometown. It'll start at the school and end at the school. You have to drive around the hometown and perform all of these different acts and do all of these different things. And so we organized this big cannonball run, and it was maybe like 6 or 7 teams of about 3 to 4 people each. You had to videotape yourself. You had 12 stops. It was almost like a scavenger hunt, but you had to do everything in order, and you were racing in cars in between things. So people are doing like 110 miles an hour on surface streets trying to get places. We had one where you started out in your team. You start in the school. You kind of like, everybody go! And you speed out of the parking lot. You had to go to our buddy's house. You had to chug 6 beers between 2 of the non-driving members of the team. And then you had to pick up...
Why'd you wink when you said that?
Huh?
Nothing.
And then you had to pick up your new extra member of your team, which was a pet mouse. We had bought a bunch of mice and put them in this box. Christ. You had to grab this mouse and take him with you. And then from then on, every event that you did, you had to show the mouse with you at the event, including ones where you had to swim out into this pond. And we had some bricks tied to balloons. So you had to go out, find the balloon, swim down and get the brick the entire time, holding the mouse up above water and then swim back.
You did some dumb shit.
Bobby is exhibit A of why Ritalin exists.
Yeah.
You had to break into the college football stadium. And put a guy over the uprights. But we also, part of the goal was you had to sabotage the other team. So like when we went up over the uprights, we used axle grease and axle grease the uprights so it would be harder for the next person to go over. You would do this all around town, speeding the entire way, and eventually you end up back at the school, and the winner is the person who's there with their living mouse, having completed all the missions first.
Is the mouse named Kit Chen?
But there were people who got tickets, people got injured, there was it was a super fucking dangerous and stupid thing to do.
It sounds like it.
One of them, you had to climb up onto the roof of the gym of our school and
jump.
Swan dive. We had a football helmet on, but you weren't allowed to use your hands and break your fall.
And you had to touch this like this big giant 7-foot clock we had in the quad, and this idiot kid gets up there and starts smashing on it. We have this on tape. Instead of just touching it, he starts smashing on it. It just comes hailing down in a bunch of sparks.
Yeah, I like he's the idiot, not the people that put this together.
No, not at all. That was awesome.
Me and my friends just split a 40 of Bud Ice and hit each other in the face.
Ours was better.
Clearly.
Yeah. Well, and it was fun, man. One of them was you had to get to this guy's house, and whoever the designated member of your team was had to take a 5-second tasering, which is incredibly difficult to do, by the way.
Yeah.
And then your buddy would like carry him back to the car and you'd get going. It was a lot of fun, but I look back now, especially as a new parent, and think like, holy fuck, if my son was involved in anything like that, I'd pull him out of fucking school right away.
Now, let me think about, like, for real, what they might...
I am tapping out of this story, because I have nothing close to what Bobby is describing.
No, I don't either. I'm not about to tell you that I do. Before, though, I do have to share my Cannonball Run story.
Oh, you do have a Cannonball Run.
About the movie.
Okay.
So, when I was a kid, I lived out in Palm Desert, which some of the area is affluent, some of it, in the early 90s at least, very not so much.
Right.
I lived in a really nice house with a pool, my best friend in school, Jenny, she lived in a trailer. No, I'm not about to fucking just retell Forrest Gump. So anyways, she lived in a double wide on the not so good side of town. As a kindergartner, first grader, I did not see a difference between our houses. But anyways, her dad was like a super alcoholic trucker. And like he's one of those guys where you see him, you're like, he looks like he drinks. Even as a kid. And so anyways.
Yes, that's what Ryan says every time he looks in the mirror in the morning. That guy looks like he drinks.
Oh, a mirror joke. I have a group for you. You should join.
You would be their new king.
They will send one to lead us.
I'd be their King Chen.
Ooh. I liked it. I'll give that one a bad. Anyways, so they lived in this double wide, and I'd go over to play, and you know, my dad would come over to chat with the parents while we were playing. And we were in the living room of this trailer, and I look on this little mantle thing, and there is an Oscar, two Emmys, and a Golden Globe.
In a trailer.
And I'm like, Dad. Yeah, he's like, gift store, Hollywood Boulevard, you know. And he picks one up. He's like, holy shit, it's fucking real. And it's got the guy's name on it. It's got the movie on it. And they're all Burt Reynolds movies.
What? What does he do?
They're all Burt Reynolds movies. And it's all for producing. And my dad was like, hey, so, he's like, yeah, I used to be a producer. And it's rude to be like, point to your trailer and be like, what happened? Ew, look at your gross life. What my dad had to do that pause, that pregnant pause for like, and the guy just never said anything. He's like,
wow. So
he's like, so you were a producer? Like, yeah, Burt Reynolds was my best friend. He just kept not talking about it. So
did you follow up with his daughter and figure it out?
So, every time we came over, my dad became obsessed with this.
I would grill the shit out of that little girl.
He's like, yeah, my dad took her and her dad into separate rooms. You want this Milky Way candy bar, little girl? Oh, I'm sorry. That doesn't sound right. So anyway.
Was there ever a man with a mustache around your house that you have questions about?
It's not the same story your daughter's telling. I think you're holding out on me.
So anyways, he finally was able to piece the story together. So him and Burt Reynolds were best friends. And then in like the 80s, they got into the South American Yak Yak a little bit. As the Hollywood did in the fucking 80s.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, if you didn't do cocaine in the 80s working in the film industry, you were a loser, man. L7 weenie. So anyways, as you remember, Burt Reynolds had a tremendous fall from grace.
Right.
You know, like, he went from, like, being, like, nominated for awards every year and winning them, obviously, at least his films did, because this guy was tacked on as a producer and got to take home some hardware.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, cut to him in a Meineke commercial.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
I don't think it was a fall from grace so much as a realization of who Burt Reynolds was by society in general.
Well, no. You know, he got busted for drugs. You know, there was a big washout. And to try to have a second moment, which wasn't coming for like another like 10 years when Boogie Nights rolled around, to save face, he threw all of his entourage under the bus and was like, I did some drugs, but these people got me into it, and they all got blacklisted from Hollywood.
Wow.
And that is what happened. Cut to the dude looking at his fucking Oscar in a double-wide trailer in the desert. He's like,
that's so horrible.
Fucking. So now, and then fucking Burt Reynolds, like, he stayed famous. He didn't just wash out with them.
Wouldn't it be great if they then formed some kind of squad of hitmen / assassins bent on getting revenge on Burt Reynolds?
Or a writer's group.
All right, so you guys both had your high school stories. I thought of one now. When I was in high school,
I did not, but go ahead.
The cool kid named Tyler, he organized us all into having like these bare knuckle fist fights in the basement of the school. Because he told us he was really cool and charismatic. He's like, you guys.
Oh, shut up, Dave. It's Fight Club. It's always Fight Club with you.
I like how he started with the cool kid named Tyler. Why did you cut him off? I wanted him to loop back around where he was Tyler.
No, he was Kit Chen. The Korean whore.
He was Bitch Tits Bob.
No, I'm trying to think what my dad would see if he could have like a little portal into my high school. And he'd be like, all right, they're scoring beer with a fake ID.
Right, yeah.
They're going to a wooded area. And they're talking about Metallica. This is boring.
Yeah, exactly.
He would change the channel on that.
They would be disappointed with us that we're not getting anything crazy. Like,
don't you like girls, you goddamn homo?
Oh, wait a second. Speaking of Burt Reynolds getting into drugs, you guys saw the news recently about Tom Petty, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he died of a overdose?
Massive drug overdose, like a laundry list of drugs. And the two things that like kind of blow my mind about this is, first of all, why did it take so long for this autopsy result to come out? And second, why is everybody so fucking surprised? Like, every post I've seen is like, holy shit.
He's a fucking rocker from the 70s.
Like, that's
who's
what
now in his 70s.
Right. Like, I don't understand why anyone is shocked by this.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, that's not the Tom Petty I know.
The only justification I could give is the exact thing Ryan is saying, but flipped on his head, which is like, he's been doing drugs since the 70s. Shouldn't he know better?
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I'm like, dude, your heart cannot take a laundry list of drugs, Petty. Yeah.
I think it would be more like, man, that NASCAR driver got into an accident just driving around the school. He killed himself. How did that happen? What? He should know better. He's been driving his entire life.
No, this is more like a rocker from the 70s dying of an overdose. This is like the NASCAR driver like crashing on the track everyone acting surprised. Like, what? That would never happen.
It's almost like, I feel like he died because he got his drugs out of balance a little bit. Like, he didn't keep up with all the drugs. It was like the Mr. Burns on the Simpsons.
All the diseases were in simpatico.
Well, I mean, that, you know what sometimes happens a lot with these guys is they used to do a copious amount of drugs and then they get clean for a while, and then when they go back, they just remember the amount that it used to take to get them fucked up, and they think they can go right back to that, not realizing their tolerance has fallen significantly.
But
you know?
You're assuming that he had some kind of break or something.
I don't know, he didn't.
I think what's more likely is you have drugs like fentanyl, which the difference between the dose that makes you high and the difference between the dose that kills you outright is like what looks like a few grains of sand.
Really?
Yeah. And so if you're used to using heroin where you can tell the dosage by the size and stuff, you imagine, you know, is this 3/4 of a Splenda packet or 3/4 and a couple nodules, you know? Like, when you get to that point, especially in those drugs, it's just so fucking powerful that it's the most experienced drug people, even like Petty, can kill themselves.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy about the drug mentality is, like, when you score drugs with your buddy and find out, like, let's say it's some blow and it's been super stepped on, it's like, damn, it's been stepped on. We're gonna have to do a lot of this to get fucked up. Like, you're not even paying attention to what are we putting in our body. If this is like feline worm medication. This is fucking.
And I haven't had worms since.
Yeah, like, it's not the concern of, oh my God, what am I snorting into my brain? It's like, damn, now we're going to have to do all of it to get high.
Dude, that actually gives me a great idea. You know how there's a big problem?
Stop right there. Buy some cocaine, mix it with flour, and sell it at outrageous prices.
No. I was going to say, you know, there's a big problem with, like, the anti-vaxxers who don't want to get vaccines, and it's ended up causing a huge problem with herd immunity. Let's just start mixing coke with vaccines so that people don't have a fucking choice on it.
And most of these anti-vaxxer celebrities, they've done cocaine.
Oh, hey, that's what I'm getting towards. Yeah, I think it's an overlapping group.
I'm like, do you have autism? I mean, you've put enough shit. Are you saying the shit you snorted up your nose a million times in the 90s is worse than what's ever in that little needle there?
Right.
Also in the news, by the way, Ja Rule, whose musical catalog I'm not familiar with. It's so sad when this happens. Like,
I feel like you should like Ja Rule, though. Like, Ja Rule made an entire career about having a raspy voice. Like, that was his entire deal. Ja Rule should be your poster child.
So let me kill Meister, bro. Fucking, there's one in every musical department. You don't have to look hard to find him. Tom Waits, boom.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
All I know about Ja Rule, like, we all heard his music, but he hasn't been relevant in fucking forever.
Yeah.
And all I remember from him is, like, he was a rapper. He was never great. Like, people liked him, whatever. But him and 50 Cent had beef, like, way back when.
Yes. And he went on Twitter to reignite this.
Yeah.
See, this is the Conor McGregor era we're living in. As much as I love Conor, he taught a bunch of fucking raisin cakes.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to be the biggest celebrity in the world, just talk a bunch of shit and do it in a public forum. And suddenly, people will be clamoring for a personal appearance. They will pay-per-view an interview of you in London, you know? So I feel like this is Conor McGregor's fault, because now he's like, hey, 50 Cent's a pussy. What now? And I'm like, yeah, neither of you matter.
Yeah. The difference is, not only is Conor relevant, he's also really good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no who's better? Like, he's got the belts. He's got the hardware.
Yeah. And he's got the belt. He's also got the belt of trash talk. Like, that one Jeremy, right. I think it was a Jeremy Stevens or whatever, where he was in that big interview. And the guy's like, I want the next shot at Conor. And Conor's like, who the fuck is that guy?
Oh, favorite line ever.
Just, he's so good and fast and on the spot. He's like a comedian with a heckler. So then other people see that and be like, oh, I see. All you have to do is kind of be an asshole. And then you're going to be, you got to be good at what you do.
I think even more important than that, as far as how he does what he does, he can throw and take a punch.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if it gets physical, he's okay with
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
These guys haven't been in a fight in fucking 25 yeah, years, right. you know? And so the thing is, here's another thing I hate about what Conor McGregor's done just to everyone. I'd be fine if it was just Conor McGregor. Let me just say that. If it was only yeah. him doing the trash talk thing, that's his thing. But since, like, he's made it such the gold standard of how to make money, like, here's a perfect example. I was watching a UFC weigh-ins, and two of the guys squared off for their picture, and they shook hands, did the overlap, and they both hugged and bowed to each other.
Yeah.
And it used to be, when I'd see that, I'd go, fuck yeah, man, sportsmanship. Yep, yeah, I yeah. love that. Yeah, yep. Love that. That's respect. Now, I see that, I'm like, not going to make any money that way. Ooh, you might want to, yeah, no one's going to care about your fight now. So, like, it sucks that that's that we're getting further away from good sportsmanship. Yeah. But anyway, back to them. I'm like, is there anyone less relevant you could have called out? Like, yeah, and Wright said Fred's a pussy too. And fuck Rico Suave and Alf.
I'm coming for you, Bismarck.
I think if that happened, we'd all be like, whoa, we love Bismarck.
Hey, let's.
So he just basically.
Kit Chan can fuck off!
You guys inform me, because I'm not as into the hip hop community as I may appear to be on the surface, but so he fires this shot across 50 Cent's bow. Are they going to fight now? Is there going to be some kind of big war?
Here's the thing.
All I know, the fallout from this, Ja Rule taking that shot at 50 Cent, the most fallout I've seen. Is a lot of our mutual friends now think Ryan Shores has beef with Ja Rule.
Yeah, okay. So as a joke, I went on my Facebook, and I also claimed that Ja Rule talked shit to me, and then I named, like, you know, several fucking out-of-work entertainers.
Yeah.
The joke being, like, you're calling out a nobody yeah. by a nobody. So the thing is, I've always said how weirdly gullible a lot of people are, but I did not expect this. Several people have messaged me like, so what's going on with you and Ja Rule? I'm like, what did you just say? And I got a text this morning from my friend. He's like, dude, our mutual friend is asking about it. Like,
do you need to borrow a bulletproof vest? Are you okay?
I'm like, this cannot be real.
They're going to have a rasp off.
So, like, now I'm at this point where I'm like, well, I can't not. Now I just have to see where this goes.
Now you got to tweet Ja Rule something
yeah.
about how he's being a little bitch.
Ja Rule's the pussy. You're the pussy. No, I should just keep fucking I just should keep building up this like fantasy that I keep alluding to
yeah,
and
yeah.
see how much people will believe. Like, for the last time, I don't want to talk about what happened after the MTV Movie Awards. There was other folks there. There was Ja Rule. There was Mark Hamilton. There's a lot of people in that
I'm
room.
Not, just start saying how you're not going to lower yourself to Ja Rule's level and you're not going to play his games.
Yeah.
It's like the social media version of a vision board. Like, Brian's like, if I put it out there, a feud will happen.
Yeah.
You know what you realize? I think you've just given me the tip on how to beat Conor McGregor, not in the ring, but in the trash-talking realm.
Oh, I would destroy him with the trash-talking
realm. No, well, what you do is, if you listen to me, listen, all you UFC
you challenge
fighters.
Him to a 12-city car race with obstacles in between.
Listen, Khabib or Tony Ferguson, if you're listening, here's the tip to beating Conor in the trash-talking range. You got to understand, you don't box a boxer, you don't wrestle a wrestler. Conor's great at trash talk. You got to flip the script and do the opposite. So Conor's like, oh, fuck that guy. Gives a bunch of insults. And then you're just like, you know, Conor McGregor is one of the most talented fighters the UFC has ever seen. I'm really honored to be in the ring with him. And I hope he goes, well, then Conor looks kind of confused. Like, how
no,
do I even
Conor
respond?
Conor would eat that shit. Like, yeah, you see, everybody knows. He's my opponent.
And you just
the
keep
best.
Going. Yeah, he is. He's great. It's going to be an honor to be in the ring with him. Man, that weird karate
work.
Stance he's been able to manufacture, that is fantastic. It would.
No, it would destroy him. And in 20 years, a little kid would walk into a trailer in Palm Desert and see UFC belts on the mantle.
Yes.
And a fat Conor McGregor like, yeah, I used to mix it up a little.
Dude, wouldn't it be great if that became the Diaz brothers' new trash talk? just over-the-top complimentation.
Yeah, because the Diaz brothers, very well-spoken.
Yeah.
All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby. Before we go, though, a couple chances to see all three of us together. On January 25th, we'll be at The Landing in El Cajon, California. And the very next night, on January 26th, going back to where I started stand-up, Winston's in Ocean Beach, we will be there, all three of us, so come check those out. Anyway, I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Oh, oh, oh.
motherfucking time is passing by.
Want to go back to my house and drink?